Morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos is Ayin Dalid. We are in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting towards the bottom of the Amud. We are going through the 39 Malachos. Mishnah Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, what we did yesterday, introduced us to the 39 Malachos of Shabbos. We went through the Mishnah yesterday, going through each one of the 39 Malachos, giving some basic definition to each one of them. And the Gemara from here until the next Mishnah is going to be commenting on not all the malachos. I would even guess not even most of the malachos, but still, the Gemara is going to do a running commentary to many of the malachos mentioned in the Mishnah. Not much, a line or two for each of the malachos, giving some basic definition. And we covered yesterday the first five malachos of Shabbos. We are on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we are continuing in the Gemara's discussion. We are up to a comment the Gemara is going to make. This is more of a general comment regarding three of the 39 malachas. Hazara, Habar, Va'atochin, Va'hamarake. So the Gemara is quoting an excerpt from the Mishnah, and Hainu Zara, Hainu Bar, Hainu Marake. And now let's take a look at three of the malachas mentioned in the Mishnah. One is Zara, that's winnowing. The process in which you take the chaff, you throw it up into the wind, the chaff is going to blow away, and only the kernels are going to come down again. So that is basically a way of separating the good from the bad, bad from the good. We'll actually discuss more about that later on in terms of which one's okay, which one's not. So, Haino Barer. And now that's basically the same thing as Barer. Barer is literally separating. And the idea behind Barer is that once you have the kernels over there, there are going to be kernels of wheat, but there's also going to be stones and pebbles and so a bunch of impurities that you don't want, so you're going to take them out as well. And Haino Merakeid, and that's essentially also Merakeid. Merakeid, now we're at the point of sifting. You grind up the flour, and so within the ground flour, you have the flour that you want, but then you also have impurities. And so what you're going to do is you're going to sift it in order to remove the impurities. So even though it's true that each part of these are a stage in the bread baking process, but nevertheless, when all said and done, from a functional standpoint, they're all basically the same. And it sounds like now what we're doing is that we're just basically putting together a list. Even though it seems like we're not paying any attention to the fact that they are, from a functional standpoint, it's superfluous. And why do I need all three? So, Abai v'Rava d'Amar Tavayu. So, the Gemara provides the following answer, and that is, Kol Milsa d'Havya b'Mishkan, anything that was in the Mishkan, Afagav d'Ika d'Damila, and even though there are actions that are similar to it, Chashiv La. Nevertheless, it's going to be significant, and therefore we are going to count it. Meaning, what the Gemara's answer effectively is you're right, point well taken, that Merakeid and Zoreh and Borer are, from a functional standpoint, the same thing. They are all separating good from bad. So from that standpoint, yes, but in terms of listing the 39 Malachos, since each one of these activities was a separate action in the baking of bread, so therefore each one of them is therefore going to be counted as a separate malacha. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, the lecture of Nami Kotesh, so then why don't we consider Kotesh as well? Now, Kotesh is another form of separation. Kotesh is basically even further refining the kernel of wheat. After taking off the main husk of the wheat, so there was another layer that was taken off through the process of Ketisha. Rashi describes over here, second line down, Chitim b'machteshes. You are kotesh the wheat with a machteshes, some sort of grinder. Lahasir klipasan. Now this removes even another shell off the kernel of the wheat. Dehave b'mikdash b'samamanim. And this activity was actually done in the Beis HaMikdash. Now this is a point we're going to make shortly enough in today's daf, and that is that in the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't baking bread and building the mikdash, they were preparing the samamanim, the dyes. And when preparing the samamanim, so this was done. The outer shell was taken off with this action of Ketisha. So, why isn't this listed as well? And if you're going to tell me, well, it's very similar to Dash, well, that's going to be the next point of Rashi. If it's going to be basically the same thing as Dash, Dash is removing the outer layer. So, the Gemara says, that's fine. But we just learned together that every step that was in the process is going to be defined as a malacha. And even though Kotesh and Dash may in fact be one and the same thing, but because they were actually different steps that were made in the baking of bread, so therefore Ketisha should in fact be mentioned. Amar Rabbi, the Gemara is going to give two answers to this question. Shekein ani ochal pita below Ketisha. Because when you have a poor person who's eating bread, he eats bread without the Ketisha. In terms of why the poor person is eating the bread without ketisha, it could be that because he's so poor, he just simply wants more of the wheat kernel, or simply because it costs too much to do. Not clear exactly why the ani doesn't do it, but still, the ani doesn't do it. And so because the ani doesn't do it, so therefore it is not critical. Now there's a really important Rashi over here, which we're going to go through inside. So what is Abaye saying? Meaning, we could read what he's saying, but how is that answering the question? How does that mean now that ketisha is going to be taken off the list? And Rashi writes as follows: Shekein ani ochel pita below ketisha. So Rashi writes as follows. So here's what we're saying about Kotesh. It was in the Mikdash. The Av Malachihi. And then Rashi says something amazing. And that is, Ketisha is an Av Malacha. Came into Tanile Dash, Lo Tanile, but it's already incorporated within Dash. Meaning, we have Ketisha as being one of the Avos Malachas. However, the reason why it's not listed in the Mishnah is because it's incorporated within Dash, and therefore there's no need to do so. However, continues Rashi, Zorer, Borer, Merakeb, Sidur de Pasninu. But in terms of the malachas of winnowing, selecting, and sifting, that's all part of the bread making process. They came to have a mikdash, and since they were in the mikdash, v'hacha askel b'sidur de pas, and they're also part of the bread baking process, taninu kida amrina gabi ofev. So therefore, it is going to be listed in the Mishnah. So what it sounds like from Rashi is the following. The Mishnah has chosen the following course, the following path, in terms of determining what's going to make it into the 39 malachas. Meaning we are starting off with the assumption that we're going to go through the bread baking process. Every step in the bread baking process is going to be listed in the Mishnah. But that's not an exhaustive list. It doesn't mean that we're including every av. It just simply means that we are committed to those 11 steps. In fact, we're going to see the Gemara. Rashi's previewing the Gemara that we're going to see together, which is when we get to number 11. So it is in the Mishnah, it is afia, it's baking. And the Gemara is going to ask the question, baking? What are we talking about baking? They didn't bake in the base of Mikdash. And again, we're going to make this point later on as well. We're not talking about operating the base of Mikdash. We're not talking about operating the Mishkan. We're talking about that which was involved in making the Mishkan. And actually building the Mishkan. And so what they had to do is they had to cook the various spices and fruits and berries in order to produce the dyes. It's cooking, not baking. So why is the Mishnah say baking? So Rashi says, because, and this is Rashi quoting the Gemara, because what the Mishnah is committed to is Sidur Depas, the steps in terms of baking bread. Now, as far as the wealthy people are concerned, so they go through this process of ketisha. They soak the grain, that's lasasei. Kache is that they then remove this outer shell, lasos selos nikia, in order to create really good flour, refined flour. Avalanim lotarchi. But poor people don't do this. Hilkach lotanala. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't write it. But it's an av malachi and it's included in dash. And what we could do is we could take this Rashi that we just learned together and we could connect it to what we learned yesterday. Rashi introduced this idea to the idea yesterday of co-avos, meaning even though you have what's called in a mission av malacha, that doesn't mean that can't share a platform with other activities that are also in av malacha. Remember, we saw Rashi yesterday, an ayin gimel amud beis towards the top of the amud, when describing the malacha of Zoreya. So Zoreya is an av malacha. Rashi says so is Noteya. Zoreya is when you put a seed in the ground. Noteya is when you put a sapling in the ground. Rashi says the same thing can be said regarding grafting. Grafting also is an av malacha. Even though you're not taking a seed and putting it into the ground, you're taking a branch and putting it to the ground, or connecting it to another branch, but that's also an av malacha. So Rashi introduced us yesterday to the idea of co-avos. So Rashi says the same thing is true over here. When you have the malacha of ketisha and when you have the malacha of dash, that is divesting it of its outer shell. Dash happens to be its outer layer. Ketisha is more of an interior layer. But once you divest it of its outer shell, that's the malacha of dash. Dash is an av malacha, so is ketisha an av malacha. And as far as why it's not listed in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is committed to sidur depas, in terms of being the platform of which we're going to list the 11 malachas. But the truth of the matter is, there are other avos malachas. That is all the presentation of the Gemara according to Rashi. There is other paths to go down in terms of explaining the Gemara, but that is a very, hopefully, clear presentation of Rashi. We're back in the Gemara. And so now the question that we have asked and now answered is, why isn't Kotesh mentioned in the Mishnah? And the answer is, according to Abaye, because when the Ani eats his bread, he doesn't go through this process of Ketisha and go back and review the way Rashi explained it. We did that in depth. We continue in the Gemara. Rav is going to give a different answer to our question. Rav Amar Hamani Rebbe Hida Amar Avos Malachos Arbaim Chaser Achas. So Rebbe's of the position. Rav is explaining that our mission is going like Rebbe. Rebbe says that there are 39 malachos. We learned that earlier in the Masechta. V'ichashiv Kotesh Avilei Arbaim. Sorry, stop over there. And if what now Kotesh was being added, so then the number would be 40. Meaning, according to Rava, what is driving the Tana to keep the number 39? The fact that the number cannot exceed 39. Meaning, what Rava's response is that Kotesh really could have made the list. However, if that's done, so then we're going to exceed the number 39. We're going to get to the number 40, and the cap has to be at 39, not 40. It certainly sounds like from the Gemara that Abaye is not necessarily limiting himself to this idea, meaning in theory, there could be more than 39 malachos. Just happens to be that it only gets to the number 39. Anyway, so the Gemara says, okay, so if according to Rava, the only thing that's driving the Mishnah is the idea that we have to keep the number down to 39, so let's think about it this way, and I'm presenting it like Rashi's presenting it. So we have similar malachos. We have the malachos of Zorah, Borer, and Merakeid. And now we also have another series of malachos that are similar, Dash and Kotesh. So what the Gemara is now asking is, according to you, Rava, where the only objective of the Mishnah is to keep the number to 39, so why is there such an inequitable distribution? When you were talking about the malachos that are related to separating, so the Mishnah has how many of them? 3. But then we're talking about the malachos of removing the outer shell. How many malachas are mentioned in the Mishnah? Only 1. That's unfair. Meaning, if we're just keeping the number to 39, at least let's get an equitable distribution. Let's have 2 from the family of separating. Let's put 2 in from the family of removing the outer shell. Let it be 2 and 2, not 3 and 1. So Ella Machvarta Keda Abaye. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're actually going to go back to Abaye's answer. The Gemara says, I prefer Abaye's answer. Abaye is saying that really what is the driving force behind the Mishnah is the Mishnah's commitment to listing Sidur Depas. And because Ketisha is not generally within Sidur Depas, that's not how the Aniyim eat the food, so that's why it's not in the Mishnah. That kind of takes us through the general discussion in the Gemara in terms of what is driving the Mishnah in terms of listing the various Avos Malachos. We continue in the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan. We are now going to be discussing the Malacha of Borer at length. This is probably going to be the longest discussion the Gemara is going to have in this Sugya about any one of the particular Malachos. The Gemara is going to be spending nearly a full Amud on this. In fact, the Gemara will be spending a full Amud on this. This will take us to the top of the Amud base. And so the Gemara's discussion now is going to revolve around Borer. Tanur Rabbanan, we start with a Braisa. The Braisa, I'll read it. It's very difficult to decipher. Ha'ilofan of Mine Ochlin, the Braisa says that, let's say you have foods in front of you. Borer ve'ochel. Borer u'meiniach. You can separate and eat. You can separate and put it aside. V'lo yivror. But, and you shouldn't separate. V'im b'irer. And if you do separate, chayiv chatos, so then one is going to be liable for a chayiv chatos, meaning it's going to be a malacha. Now, admittedly, the Braisa is very cryptic and very difficult to read. The general idea of the Braisa is that on occasion Borer is okay, it's totally acceptable, and on occasion Borer would be an Issur D'oraisa. That's the basic idea of the Braisa. But understanding when it's okay versus when it's an Issur D'oraisa, that's challenging, at least given the Braisa that we have in front of us. My commerce will immediately prompt the Gemara to ask the question, what is the Braisa saying? The Gemara now is going to give no less than 5 different explanations of what the Braisa means, and we're going to go through each one of the 5. Before doing so, I'll just make 1 point, which is really important. However, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. And that is the beginning of the Braisa. The beginning of the Braisa opens up with the words Hayu lefanav mini ochlin. If you take a look at Tosfos, third Tosfos down in the Amud, so Tosfos writes that that's not the correct girsa of the Gemara. Hayu lefanav, look at Tosfos, shnei mini ochlin. Tosfos insists that the correct girsa over here should be not Hayu lefanav mini ochlin, but shnei mini ochlin. V'chein perish Rabbeinu Chananel, and I'm reading this Tosfos, and he says, and Rabbeinu Chananel says the same thing as well. That borer, selecting good from bad, is not an objective good and an objective bad. It's not food and non-food. It could even be applied to a scenario where there are two foods in front of you, and both of them are foods, edible foods. It just happens to be that one of them I want to eat, one of them I don't want to eat. Shabar oso sheinu chafetz la'achol mitoch oso sherotz la'achol, da oso sheinu chafetz bo chashiv psoles, the food that you currently don't want, there's a mixture of food in front of you, of foods in front of you. And right now, currently, there's one food that you don't want. So as far as halacha is concerned, as far as the malach of bora is concerned, that one now defines itself as psolas. V'chein mashma b'yushami, Tosfos quotes Yushami as well, that this, in fact, is the correct girsa, is shnei mine ochlin. And that when I have two foods in front of them, in front of you, and both of them are perfectly edible, I'm just not interested in one of those two. So that is a borer situation whereby which you would have to do borer correctly, which we're going to learn about in the upcoming Gemara. Now, from Rashi, it doesn't sound like Rashi agrees. In fact, there is a short line in Rashi over here where he's insistent in terms of what the right girsa is. You see it right before the Dibra Amaschal Velo Yivror. Rashi writes, Hayu lefanav mine ochlin garsinan velo garsinan shnei. Rashi goes out of his way to say that the correct girsa is not the way Tosfos presents it, but rather hayu lefanav mine ochlin. You have food in front of you, foods in front of you. And now, not sure if I'm correct about this, but it certainly sounds like that from Rashi's perspective, the borer is only when you have food and non-food, meaning you have foods in front of you, and there's inedible portions that are in there, stones, pebbles, dirt, whatever the case is, and you're separating the one from the other. So, I may be making too much of Rashi, but what you could argue within Rashi is that if what you have in front of you are foods, and it's just a question of subjective nature of what I want and what I don't want, so according to Rashi, perhaps, this would not be a situation of borer. But anyway, Tosfos certainly spells it out, that borer could be even on a subjective nature, even though both foods are perfectly edible, but the one I currently do not want is also going to be subject to the rules of borer. We are going to now go and run through five different ways to explain the Braisa, because as it stands right now, the Braisa is certainly making a distinction, but at this point in time, it's almost impossible to understand what the distinction is. And here we go. Number one, Amar Ula. Hachi kamar. This is the way to read the Braisa. Borer ve'ochel lebo bayom. A person could do borer if he plans on eating it that Shabbos. Uborer miniach lebo bayom. And one could do borer also for later in that day in Shabbos. Ula machar. However, if wanted to do borer for the next day, lo yivor. Therefore, you're not allowed to do borer. V'imbir chayv chatas. And if you do borer, you're going to be chayv a carbon chatas. So this is our first pshat in the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to reject his first pshat. Maskev la Rav Chista, v'chimut alafos lebo bayom, v'chimut alavash lebo bayom. So he says, I don't understand what is behind that pshat, the svar behind that. It doesn't make any sense. Let me ask you a question. Let's take another malacha like bishul, afia, cooking, baking. If I were to bake for Shabbos, that's okay, but if I were to bake for Sunday, that's not okay? Where do we have this distinction that if I'm doing the malacha, it depends on for when I'm doing this malacha for? That doesn't work. It's true on Yontov we have such an idea, but that's because of the Heter of Mitoch. But you don't have any such concept on Shabbos. So immediately the Gemara rejects the Ula's Pshat. We're up to now our second possibility. El Amar Rav Chista Bor Ve'Ochel Pachos Mechashir. So here is now Rav Chista's understanding of the Braisa. If I'm going to do Borer but less than the requisite amount, in order to violate a malacha, you have to do a certain amount of the malacha. By all of the malachos, interesting by the way, Rashi, I didn't highlight this yesterday. Interesting, Rashi in yesterday's daf, yesterday's Mishnah, Rashi says, it's true for all but choresh, for plowing. For plowing, there isn't a shear. But for the other malachas, there's a shear. And the shear for the other malachas, when it comes to food, is a grogeres. So you have to be doing borer on a grogris of food. Now, what Rav Chisda suggests as pshat in the Braisa is that if I do less than a shear, that's okay. Borer u'miniach pachus michashir, if I'm going to do it even for a little bit later on, that's okay as long as I'm doing it less than a shear. U'kishir lo yivor. Now, but if once you do a shear, so then you cannot do it. V'imbir chayiv chatas. Now, once you do the requisite amount, that would be a malacha, and therefore you'd be chayiv karban chatas if you did it b'shogeg. Maskal of Rav Yosef v'chimut la'afos pachus mechashir. So Rav Yosef says, wait one second. So what you're understanding the brisa to mean is that as long as I'm doing less than the shear, so then it's mutal lagamre. It's not mutal lagamre. We're now onto the topic of chatsi shear. Doing a half of a shear, and I would say half, doesn't literally mean half, it just simply means part of a shear, so that the Torah prohibits. Rashi over here cites the Gemara in Yuma. We know there is a machlokas amongst the Amoraim, whether chatsi shear is asur min haTorah. With Rav Yochanan's position there in the Gemara in Yuma is that chatsi shear is asur min haTorah, and that's the halacha. And so now you're telling me that what the Brice is advocating is that if I do borer less than a shear, that's okay? That's not okay, chatsi shear is asur min haTorah. And we'll just quickly point out that if chatsi shear is asur min haTorah, so then what's the purpose of a shear? The answer is actually pretty obvious. The answer is onshin, punishments. Meaning if I do less than a shear, so that I violate the Torah, but there is no onish. Once I get to the shear, I violate the Torah and there's an onish. But anyway, there can't possibly be a distinction where if I do less than a shear, then it would be mutar lagamre. The Gemara says that is just simply untenable. And obviously, we have now just rejected two presentations of two Amoraim. We rejected the presentation of Ula, we rejected the presentation of Rav Chisda. Now, they're Amoraim Atsumen. There are great Amoraim. And obviously, they must have meant something. So, not for a Daf Yomi Limud, but for more Ian, one would have to investigate what was their thought process. Because they weren't just throwing out suggestions. They obviously had they had a design in terms of what they were thinking. That's for an Ian Seder. Anyway, continuing the Gemara. El Amar Rav Yosef, so the Gemara now is going to give now our third suggestion. Barva Ochel Biyad. Barva Umeniach Biyad. If you're going to be doing the act of borer with your hands, that's acceptable. That's fine. B'kanon v'tamchu lo yivor. V'imbir pater. Now here what Rav Yosef is actually going to do is he's going to add a third category in the Braisa. Meaning he's reading the Braisa. He's not reading a binary Braisa, but rather he's reading a Braisa that could be broken down into three parts. In the middle section, he is talking about doing borer with some sort of not really developed utensil, kanon tamchui plates, some very basic item that helps facilitate borer, so that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but that is not issa d'oraisa. Aval, it's patar aval aser, but it's also midrabanan. Uva nafa v'kavra lo yivor v'imbir chayiv chatas. And if you're using a utensil that is designed for the act of borer, like a sieve, so then one would be violating the Isser D'oraisa of borer. So, the pshat presented by Rav Yosef is that if you're doing it with your hand, that's fine. If you're doing it with a basic instrument, that's Asur Midrabanan. If you're doing it with an instrument that's designed for borer, that's an Isser D'oraisa. Maskal Rav Hamnun Amid Dikanam V'tamchoi Ketani. Now, Rav Hamnun's question over here is not a question in Svara, but a syntax question. It doesn't fit in the Braisa. Because your pshat in the Braisa now involves instruments, and there was no mention of any instrument in the Braisa, so he challenges it just simply based on the fact that it doesn't fit into the words of the Braisa. But the attack over here is not an attack in Svara. El Amar of Hamanuna, so now we're up to our fourth pshat of the Braisa. Barva Ochel, Ochel Mitoch Apsolos. What you're allowed to do is take the Ochel, the food, the edible, the good, from the bad. Bor Miniach, Ochel Mitoch Psolos. Even if I'm going to leave it over for a little bit later on, so then you could take the good from the bad. Psolos Mitoch Ochel Lo Yivor V'Imbir Chayiv Chatas. If you take the bad from the good, so then you're not allowed to do, and that would be Nisar D'Oraisa. Rav Hamnuna returns back to a binary reading of the Braisa, and that there really are two categories, and it's based on, if I do good from bad, that's acceptable. Now, why is that acceptable? So Rashi writes over here, because that's not derech breira. Because that's not how borer is done. Borer is done by taking, by separating the bad from the good. So if I'm doing the good from the bad, that is the reverse, and therefore does not define as the malacha. But if I take the bad from the good, so then that would be a violation of Borei Min HaTorah. Maskefla Abai Midi Ochem Etor Psolos Ketani. Again, Abai's attack over here, not a Svara argument, but just a syntax. It doesn't fit into the Braisa. The Braisa makes no mention of good from bad versus bad from good. Ela Amar Abai, so the Gemara is now going to be giving our fifth understanding of the Braisa. And that is Barva Ochel Alter. If I'm going to do Breira for immediate purposes, that is acceptable. That's Mutter. Ubora Miniach La'Alter. And also you could do so for immediate purposes. Ula Baba Yom, as long as it's for that day. Baruch Miniach La'Alter. Ula Baba Yom, however, if it's for a later point of the day, Lo Yivervim Birunasi Kabor La'Otzer V'Chayv Chatas. If, however, you're doing borer for a later part of the day, but not for immediate usage, so then basically it's like putting it into the storage, and there you'd be chayv karmen chatas. So according to Abaye, the distinction in the Braisa is I'm doing borer for what? If it's for immediate use, that's going to be mutla gamre. If it's for a later point, that is going to be the malacha of borer. Immediate usage, why is that not borer? So Rashi writes over here that if it's la'alter, Ein zederech borerin. That's not what the separators are doing. They're not doing it for immediate usage. They're doing it for storage. Okay, we have now offered in the Braisa five pshatim. The first two were rejected based on svara, and the pshatim number three and four were rejected, but only because it doesn't fit in to the syntax of the Braisa. And pshat number five, the Gemara does not reject at all. As far as the halacha is concerned, Bara is a very large topic in halacha. It is not now going to be a good time to discuss Bara, as we still have a half of a daf to go through. However, just know that at least right now we have the most basic yedios, the most basic pieces of information regarding the malacha of Bara. The halacha accepts responses numbers 3, 4, and 5 that we just went through. The response of Rav Yosef, Rav Hamnuna, and Abaye are all accepted la halacha. And right now, just to say it succinctly, in order to do borer on Shabbos, it has to be, you do it with your hands. In order for it to be mutter, in order for it to be permissible, so you have to do it with your hand. Number two, it's ochel mitoch psolos, so you have to take the good from the bad. And number three, it has to be for immediate purposes. Each one of these criteria are discussed in great detail in halacha. Now is just not a time to do so, but just be aware of the fact that this is a really big topic. Shmir Shabbos Keochasa, the classic work by Reb Neuvert. So when he discusses the halachas of Shabbos, so I'm pretty sure if it's not chapter number two, it's chapter number three when discussing the halachas of Shabbos and the Hilchos Shabbos. So after discussing Bishul, which obviously is topic number one on Shabbos in terms of practical halacha. Number two becomes borer. It's a huge topic. But at least now we have the basics. Amru Rabban Kamei de Rava. We're back to the Gemara. The Chachamim now they say the following in front of Rava. And in other words, they said over the Braisa, they said over the various pshatim that we just said, including the pshat that was last offered by Abaye. Amru Lehu Shapar Amar Nachmeni. When Rava hears all of the pshatim, he says Nachmeni, meaning that's the way he describes Abaye. He said very good. He liked the pshat that was offered by Abaye. Ha'ilafan of shnei minei ochlin. If let's say a person had foods in front of him, ubir va'achol, ubir v'hiniach. So, and he did borer, and he ate. He did borer, and he left over. Rav Ashi masti pater, Rav Yirmiyah midifte masti chayev. And here we have a divergent position in terms of whether or not one would be exempt from doing so, or one would be actually liable a karban chatas if he did so. Rav Ashi masti pater va'atani chayev. Now, in terms of Rav Ashi, what about the fact that the Braisa says Chayav? Lo kasha habekar matam choy habenafa v'kavra. So the way Rav Ashi would respond is, we're going to go back to the Rav Yosef approach to the Braisa, in that the Braisa is not binary, but the Braisa actually is giving us three categories. Category number one, you do it with your hand. Category number two, you do it with a basic instrument. And category number three is that you use an instrument that was designed for Borah. So as far as Rav Ashi is concerned, very simple. When he had the girsa of Pater of Al-Asr, meaning it's Asr Midrabanan, he was describing kind of a tamchui. He's discussing basic instruments for the purpose of separation. And as far as the Braisa that says Chayv Chatas, that's talking about an instrument designed for Borer. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Shabasa de Rabibi Havai. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and it happens to be who had Torah Nut, who had the responsibility of setting the table, clearing, serving the food. So they did it on some sort of rotation basis, right? Right, like back in the days of the yeshiva, where we had a Torah Nut, where we had a rotation. So it was the Shabbos of Rabibi. So that means to say that he was right now the serving. V'iklai Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi. And Rabbi Ami and Ravasi came in, shad de kamayu kilkola de pera. And now what he had was a basket of fruit. A basket of fruit, and what he did is and he threw it in front of the Amorayim. Meaning basically what he did is that he did not have the basket remain in the fruit, but he spread out the fruit across the table. So now the fruit would no longer be in the tarovus. They would no longer be in a mixture. Each fruit now could just simply be taken, and this no longer is a borer situation. Now, why did he do that? So, first of all, what we're learning together is that sometimes, it's not always going to work, but sometimes in order to not get into an issue of borer on Shabbos, so what one could do is declutter. Individualize each one of the items, and so therefore it won't be borrowed. Now, it doesn't always work, can't always do this, but for a basket of fruit, where some of the fruit I want, some of the fruit I don't want, so instead of having to take ochel mitoch psos biyad miyad, using the three manners in which it would be, which would make it okay, you could just simply take the fruit and spread it along the table, and now you don't have a tarovus, it's not even a borrowed situation. Now the Gemara wants to know, Rabibi did this, why? V'lo yadana, I don't know, says the Gemara, Mishum to sever ochel mitoch psos asur, because maybe he's of the opinion that he doesn't even allow separation, even if it's ochel mitoch psos, which would be a position which we haven't even seen, but that's one possibility. Or Mishum, the other possibility is ayin yafuhu in the mechavim. Or just simply it was a question of presentation. How did he want to show the fruit? If the fruit were kept in the basket, that's nice, but if the fruit is now spread out over the table, and you see the amounts of fruit that are offered, so maybe that was what was driving him. So we don't know if his actions were halachic consideration or simply an aesthetic consideration. Chizkia amar abor to musa mitoch psol shalem chayev. Chizkia says the following, that if one were to separate the termusim, some sort of bean, and from the psola, so one would be chayev. Now, termusim are the beans which are edible. And what's going on over here? Meaning, you're separating the good from the bad, and you're going to be chayiv. So, lemaka sefer chizkia ochel mitoch psolos asur. So, it sounds like, according to chizkia, even taking the good from the bad would be something which is prohibited. Which, again, after going through the first amud of today's daf, sounds like should be okay. So, shani termusim, so the Gemara says, yeah, but these beans are different. Deshakleshev is zimnei, because what happens with these beans is that they're cooked seven times. V'ilo shakli lay, and if I don't remove them, misrach, so therefore what they're going to do is they're going to adversely affect the other beans. Therefore, k'psolos mitoch ochadami, so therefore it's treated like psolos. The Gemara's answer over here is intricate. You can see Rashi goes at length in terms of trying to explain what the Gemara's answer is. I'll work with Rashi's first shot. It seems to be the simplest way to explain it, and that is the following. These termusim that you're taking out, as the Gemara just described, were cooked seven times over. And so therefore they were very soft. Now in of themselves they're edible, they're good, but then when they're mixed in with other beans, they're going to adversely affect the other beans. Because they are soft, mushy, so what's going to happen now is that they're going to basically saturate the non-cooked beans, and they're going to ruin the non-cooked beans, because they were just basically getting them wet, but without actually cooking them. And they're going to ruin the non-cooked beans. And so right now, the termusim in this position, in this particular situation now, are going to define themselves as psoles. And so therefore, by you removing them, you're really removing the psoles mitoch ochel, which we said is the malach habor, and therefore going to be prohibited. That's the Gemara's answer. Comes out over here, if this is, again, Rashi also offers other pshatim as well. You can see Rashi inside. But at least within this first shot, it comes out now, certainly sounding like Tosfos. Then in terms of Psolos, it's not an objective question of what is good versus what is bad, but it is situational. It is based on what currently I want, what currently I don't want, in terms of determining what is good and what is bad regarding Psolos. Adkan, that takes us to the the end of the topic of Bara, as I pointed out. It is the Gemara's most extensive discussion regarding any of these 39 malachos. The Gemara spends right now, at least I'm talking just in this sugya alone. After the Mishnah presents the 39 malachos, and the Gemara now comments on each one of them, so this for sure is going to be the longest, and Amud dedicated to the topic of Bara. We continue in the Gemara, we're on the Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud Atokin. We are now talking about grinding. Amra Papa Haimanda Par Silka, or Parim Silka, right? Rashi is insistent that the letter here is a mem. Haimanda Parim Silka, Chai Mishum Tochen. So let's say you take a beet and you chop it into fine pieces. So dicing a beet is also going to be a violation of the malach of Tochen. Meaning, again, it's like with all these malachas. What you're really looking at is, what is the root action of what the Torah does not want us to do? So tochen is grinding wheat, but what I'm doing is I'm taking a large entity and I'm breaking it down into smaller pieces. So when you are dicing the beet, so that also is going to be a violation of tochen. There is an opinion of Tosos over here at the top of the Amud that this is specific to silka, this is specific to beets, but when it comes to other foods, so then it would be. And then it would be mutter. Perhaps what Tosus is alluding to is the idea that the beet in of itself is a very hard vegetable. It's a very hard root. And so therefore, the dicing it isn't just cutting it into smaller pieces, but it's also making it more edible, more presentable. Let me go back to more edible. So that could be behind what Tosus' opinion over here. But I'm adding to Tosus, and I'm not sure I'm right within Tosfos. But Tosfos certainly does limit it to the silka, and this position of Tosfos is not agreed to by anyone, not agreed to by everybody. Amar Rav Menashe Haiman Desal Silta Chay Mishum Tochen. The Gemara says that the malacha of tochen is not just limited to food. If let's say one were to take a piece of wood and cut it into smaller pieces, so that also is a malacha of tochen. Amar Rav Ashi Kapin Amashchasa Chay Mishum Mechatech. Rav Ashi adds that if you are particular, if you're specific about the size, so then that's also the violation of the malach of mechatech that we saw in the mission yesterday. Halash va'ofe. Here the Gemara now gets to the last of the 11 in terms of the sidura de pas. Amarav papa shavatani didan bishol samamanim dehave b'mishkan v'nakat ofe. So Rapapa is wondering, how is it that our Tana just walks away from bishol, meaning that the end of the 11 malachas should not have been afiyah, it should have been bishol, because that is samamonim, and it goes to afiyah, and it goes to bread. And again, let's say the pshat like Rashi, that baking is an av malacha, and that's not the issue. The issue is, why is the Mishnah specifically choosing afiyah as number 11, when what was done in the Mishkan in terms of building the Mishkan, so that was the cooking of the spices. It wasn't the baking of the bread. And so therefore, why is the Mishnah spending its time talking about baking? So Tani Didan Sidur De Pas Nakat. So the Gemara's answer is that what is driving our Mishnah is Sidur De Pas, meaning our Mishnah is committed to going over the steps of baking. And so therefore, Enach Inami. Cooking, of course, is a malacha as well. But just in terms of what is making it as a category of in our Mishnah, Sidur De Pas. We spent already a lot of time earlier this morning going over this answer of the Gemara, but here we get to see the Gemara actually say it. Let's say you take a wet peg. It's a wooden block. It's moist. It was out in the rain. And you put it in the oven to cook, so you would be chai mishum evasha. That's bishul. Pshita, the Gemara says, now isn't that obvious? The Gemara says, no, it's not obvious. Now, to you and I, it's not obvious because it's not food. But the Gemara is already past that point. I mean, the Gemara is assuming that the malacha, for a malacha to be a malacha, it doesn't necessarily have to operate on food. It can even apply to non-food. We just saw that by tochen. What bothers the Gemara is as follows. I might have thought, l'shirure manika mechave. Over here, what am I looking to do? I'm basically trying to take a hard block and make it even harder. Meaning by cooking it, what I'm doing is that I'm removing the liquid within the block. And so therefore, all I'm doing is just hard and strengthening it. That's not bishul. What is bishul? Bishul is basically, I take something inedible and I render it edible. I take something which is a solid, and I cook it to the point where it is softer, almost liquid-like. or opposite, I take something which is liquid, like I make it hard, right? Like boiling an egg. So you take the liquid egg and you boil it and make it hard. So that's bishul. Over here, ultimately, what all I'm doing is I'm taking a block of wood and I'm turning it into a harder block of wood by dehydrating and removing all the liquid. Kamashmalan demirfa rafe v'hadar kamet. So the Gemara says, here's the chiddush now. Chiddush is that when you take this wet block of wood and you put it in the oven, so yes, eventually it's going to dry out and get hard. But in the process, however, that liquid inside is going to get really hot. It's going to soften the log even more as step number one. Eventually, what's going to happen is that the liquid is going to get heated out, and all you're going to have is just simply a hard log. But because there is this interim period where it's going to be soft, therefore it's bishul. And it's interesting, what the Gemara just taught us is that even though the end-to-end result is not bishul, but as long as bishul is part of the process, that would be a violation of the malacha. Amar Rava bar Rav Huna Haiman de'irsa chufra chayv mishum evasha. A person who melts tar is going to be chayv because of bishul. Pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Yeah, that's true, but what's going to happen is that the tar is going to solidify once again, and so therefore what you did is not a permanent process. The Gemara says, nevertheless, it's the malach of bishul. And again, we just learned the same idea, that if you're taking something solid, cooking it, turning it into a liquid, even though it will eventually solidify again, but as long as you, in your process, have turned it from a solid to a liquid, that is the malacha of bishul. Amar Rav Haiman da'avid chavisa chay mishum sheva chatos. Now we're going to get to application of the malachas. If, let's say, a person were to make a chavisa, a barrel, but I say a barrel, it's made up of earthenware. So one is going to be subject to seven chatos. Let's turn to Rashi and let's go through each one of the malachas that a person is going to violate. Sheva chatos, Rashi writes, tochen aregamim v'stochem hadak havei tochen. So first of all, you have to take the earth that we're going to be using as a material for the earthenware, and we're going to have to break it down to smaller bits. That's tochen. That's one. Two. Bara hatzoros hagasos mitochen harishtayim. You're also going to have to remove the impurities, the stones that are in the earth. They have to be removed. That's bara. Three. Meraktim adnafa. After that, we're going to be sifting the earth in a sifter. That's the third malacha. Number four. Omegabal atit dahinolash. We're then going to take and mix it with water in order to knead it. That's our fourth malacha. Number five. We're also going to be smoothing it out. Smoothing it out is the malacha of memarech. Hare memachik. That's a tolada of memachik. Number six. V'hiver sa'or bekivshan. We're going to have to be turning the fire on in order to heat up the kiln. And that's malacha number six. Number seven. Umitzarfa besochal hare mevasha. And then we're going to be hardening it inside. And that's going to be the malacha of bishul. Those are going to be our seven malachas. Rashi continues. What wasn't mentioned over here, says Rashi, is what about the fact that you're taking the earth out of the ground? That's chofer. So Rashi writes, that's not going to be one of the seven. The ein otzarech ela la'afra, because that is a malacha she'ein otzarech la'gufa, meaning the malacha of chofer is when I'm removing the earth because I want the hole in the ground. Over here, I don't want the hole in the ground, I want the dirt itself, and that is why it is not counted as one of the seven. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara just gave us the seven malachas. Rashi gave us the seven, but Rashi, the Gemara says the number seven. Tanura chayv mishum shmona chataos. Now, if you're making an oven, one is going to be subject to eight malachas. What is the eighth malacha in terms of making the oven? Again, the oven also was made out of earthenware. What is the eighth malacha? Rashi writes over here, it's the next Rashi. De la'achre shesarfa bekifshan hutach alav tfeila. After making an earthenware oven, so it needs insulation, so you're going to put on a layer of pitch as insulation, and that is what's called the gemar malacha. And this is a subcategory of makeh bepatish. Why isn't there gemar malacha when it comes to the barrel that we just described earlier? So Rashi writes, "Aval gabei chavit like a mishum makeh bepatish de me'elah nigmar malachta betanur." So Rashi gives us the yesod. The malach of makeh bepatish requires a separate and distinct action. Meaning, if all I'm doing is putting the earthenware jug in the oven and it finishes, but I don't finish it, so that is not the violation of makeh bepatish. Makeh bepatish means I have to do a separate action in order to give it its finishing touch. That is makeh bepatish. and that's why it only applies to the oven, not to the earthenware barrel. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara now, Amar Abai Haimanda Aved Chilsa, Chayv Achas Usrei Chatos. If one were to make a basket made of wicker, one is going to be subject to 11 Chatos. And then, V'ichayta Lepume Chayv Shalosh Usrei Chatos. And if one then were to make a tie, in order to tie the top of the basket, so that's another 2 Malachos. Once again, let's turn our attention to Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Chayv Yad Aleph. This is great Chazara on the Malachos. Rashi says, one is subject to 11 malachos, zomer, hakanim, behut, sarach, lehem, chayv, mishom. So the first thing we need to do is we need to cut the reeds from the ground in order to get the material for the wicker. So that is kotzer mishum notea. So that's two things. One is that you have detached the plant from the ground, the reeds from the ground, and also you're promoting new growth. So that's malachos 1 and 2. That's kotzer and notea. Us from yachad ariz and ma'amer. We have to collect them together. That's a malach of ma'amer. Number 4. Bira yafos arizabora. You're going to pick the good wicker, and that is going to be the malacha of borer. Number 5, hichlikim harizememachek. You also have to smooth down each one of the reeds, and that's the malacha of memachek. Number 6, asan dakos me'achas shtaim oshalosh harizetochen. You also have to cut them down into smaller pieces, and so that's the malacha of tochen. Number 7, chatcha memida harizemechatech. Also, because we are making a basket with it, a wicker basket, they all have to be the same height. And so therefore I'm measuring, and cutting and measuring, and that's mechatech. Number 8, hisich hashesi harezeh mesach. You're going to now do your weaving. And so we start with the shesi. We start with the verticals, and that is mesach. Arag achas amala v'achal amata kedila hamido harezeh shtei bati nirin. And now we're talking about the horizontals and setting up the top and the bottom of the horizontals. That's the oseshtei batinir. Arag, then you're actually going to go through the weaving process. Hareza oreg, so that's the malacha of oreg itself. Chatach la'achar harigasu kedei lahashvasam hareza makim bepatish. And then even after it's finished, you have to now cut again in order to make sure that it's perfectly even. And now that's makim bepatish, kid amrinan lekaman. And now we have a total of 11 malachos in terms of making the basket. What about tying the drawstrings on the top so that you can close it? So that's 2 more malachos. Next Rashi. Lasos l'safa hosif kan tofer v'kosher. So that is tefira. You have to be stitching in our drawstrings on the top. Also, you have to be tying it. So that is malachos numbers 12 and 13. Rashi says, what about binyan? What about the fact that you built? So Rashi writes over here that there is no binyan because ein binyan bekelim, the malacha of binyan does not apply to kelim. Rashi also goes over the in terms of being mafshi, in terms of smoothing it out, that only applies by hides. Okay. And Rashi also rules out a couple of other malachas as well. Okay. It was a long exercise, a great exercise, as it forced us to review a number of the malachas that we learned back in the Mishnah. We go back to the Gemara, Amar Rava, Haiman. Sorry, I did that already. Hagozes as a summer of Hamalab, no. We're up to the next series of malachas now, and that is Geziza, the shearing of the sheep, and the whitening of the wool. Basically, all the malachas that are involved in the processes of making clothing. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tovet Semer Shal Gabe Behema Veshabbos Chayev Shalosh Chatos. If let's say you are going to be spinning the wool while it's still connected to the animal, so one is going to be subject to 3 carbon chatos. One achas mishum gozes, you are eventually going to end up shearing it. Vachas mishum menapes, you're also combing it. Vachas mishum tovet, and because you're spinning it. So Rav Kahana Amar, and Rav Kahana says Ein Derech Geziza Bekach Vein Derech Menapes Bekach. What are you talking about? That's not the way it's normally done. Normal procedure is first you shear, then afterwards you comb, and then afterwards you spin. Meaning that doing it while it's connected to the animal, that's not the way it's normally done. Velo, the Gemara says, now what do you mean it's not the way it's normally done? Now, it happens to be, the Gemara is right. It's not the way it's normally done. However, that time we learned in the Braisa, Mishmei to Reb Nechemia, Shatov B'Izim, V'Tavo B'Izim, the Braisa describing the women involved in preparing the coverings of the Mishkan. So there, these women would have a unique skill set in which they would do the spinning and the combing while the wool is still connected to the sheep. So that is the way that it was done in the time of the Mishkan. Alma tviya agabe behema shma tviya. So the Gemara's response is chachma yisera shani. So the Gemara says that was a very high level skill. That was the Gemara describes that as chachma yisera, and that was only specific to the women in the midbar. That's not the way it's normally done. Even for the people who know what they're doing, the way that it's normally done is first shearing, then combing, and then spinning. This is such an abnormal way in doing so. So therefore, it doesn't qualify as a malacha. Now, admittedly, the Gemara is difficult, at least to me, because all the malachos are taught because of that which was necessary in terms of putting together the Mishkan. And what the Gemara just taught us is that even though the women of the Mishkan in building and preparing the Mishkan did it in this manner, and so therefore, this is the way they did it, but because it was such a unique skill set, so therefore it doesn't translate to what gives the basic definition of the malacha. Okay, it's ironic that the way they did it is not what's going to define what is the definition of the malacha. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, we continue in the Gemara. Atolish Hasakanat Vehakotmo Vehamarto Chayv Shalosh Chatos. If you pluck off a feather off of a bird, and then you cut the feather, and you shape the feather, right? You trim the edges of the feather, so. That is a violation of three malachos. And Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Tolish Chayv Mishum Gozes. Removing the feather from the bird, that is the malach of Gozes. Kotem Chayv Mishum Mechatech. The trimming of the feather, that's Chituch, because Chituch is cutting to a specific size. And Memari Chayv Mishum Memachek. And the Memari, that's the smoothing of the feather, that's a subcategory of the malacha of Memachek. Hakoshev Amatir, continuing in the Gemara, let's finish up the daf. Kshira B'Mishkan Hechi Havai. Where exactly do we find Kshira in the Mishkan? Where is there tying in the Mishkan? Again, the default assumption of the Gemara is that every one of these activities was involved in the building of the Mishkan. Again, I keep saying that, right? That's the way Rashi presents it. So, Amar Rava Shekein Koshrim B'Yaseidos Awalim. So the Gemara says, well, they have to tie down the pegs of the tents. The Gemara says, oh, kosher, Amanas Lahatirhu. That's not kosher. Kosher is tying, but tying in a permanent manner, and that wasn't permanent. They were always on the move. Alam Rabbi Shekein Orge Yerio Shenifzik Alahem Nima. So let's say while weaving the curtains, so let's say a string were to snap, kosher no saw. So what they do is they just simply tie it back together again. Amalei Rava Tarata Kosher Matir Ma'ikal Meimar. Okay, that's true that it's kosher. Where's the matir? Where's the untying? Because there are two malachas. One is tying, the other is untying. V'chitem adi'im etzram elei trechutei, kitrei bahade hadadei. So the Gemara says, well, maybe here's where the tying and untying is. Let's say that you have two strings, and it happens to be that they were knotted together. So shari chad v'katar chad. So they're going to untie one, and they're going to tie it back together again. So the Gemara says that they'll do some sort of makeshift repair, where they're going to untie it, and then retie it. So the Gemara says, I don't buy that. Gemara says, look, if I'm making anything for a king in this world, so you think that what we're going to do is that in a situation where I got a little bit of a snag, right, it got bundled up, so we're just simply going to untie it and retie it? In other words, no, we're looking for perfection, and we would, of course, start again. So the Gemara says that can't be the tying and untying that we're describing in the Mishkan. So Ella Amarava Vitema Rabbi Elisha Kane Side Chalazon Kosher no Matirin. So the Gemara says those who trap the chilazon, which was necessary as the dye for the curtains, that's the tcheles, and also for the big day kahuna as well. So for the tzide chalazon, for those who were trapping the chilazon, so what they had to do is they had their nets. And their nets, they had to sometimes make it larger, sometimes make it smaller. And so what they had to do is they had to sometimes untie the net in order to retie it. So that's the untying and retying that was used in the Mishkan. It was used for the purposes of those trapping the chilazon. And finally, let's just finish up the daf. Hatofer Shtei Tfiros. We're talking about stitching. What is the shear of stitching? The Mishnah says Shtei Tfiros, two stitches. V'halo kaime. So the Gemara says, okay, it's two stitches. What's two stitches? Two stitches can easily be undone. And in order for a malacha to be a malacha, there has to be kiyum and has to be lasting. Amar Rav Abba Bar Chanan, Rav Yochanan, v'hu shekashran. So the Gemara's response is that it was two stitches, but then it was tied. In other words, it was knotted. So it is two stitches, meaning now that it's a good seal. It's a good stitching, and you tie the knot. So therefore, there's kiyum, and therefore it's going to last. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Let us quickly recap our day. The first discussion that we had today is there seems to be overlap in the Mishnah regarding the malachas of Borer, Zoreh, Merake. They seem to be just basically speaking to the idea of separating the good from the bad from the good. And why is there an overlap in the Mishnah? And the Gemara gave two answers, but the answer that the Gemara landed on is Abai's answer, Sidura de Pas. Meaning that what we're looking at, the platform of the Mishnah is the 11 steps in terms of making bread. And Rashi writes in today's daf, such an important point, we made it yesterday, we get to reiterate today. Kotesh, the malach of Kotesh, which is not in our Mishnah, and that's the removing of the inner layer that surrounds the kernel, not the outer layer. So that is a malach as well, even though it didn't make its way into our Mishnah, it's a malach. Rashi says it's an av malach, right? Going back to yesterday's daf, And the idea of ko-avos. It's an av malacha. But in terms of the listing of the Mishnah, the platform of our Mishnah is predicated on sidur de pas, the 11 steps of making bread. That's why our Mishnah is going to have a little bit of overlap in it, but it's all part and parcel of sidur de pas. Then the next thing we did today was go over the malacha of borer. It was discussed in some detail in today's daf, a full amud dedicated to the discussion of borer. What we started with is a braisa, which was very cryptic in terms of its point. It was making the larger point that borer under certain circumstances is mutar legamre, and other circumstances is aser min haTorah. And where exactly is that dividing line? And the Gemara gave five pshatim in terms of what the dividing line is. The pshatim, however, that are accepted as halacha are pshatim numbers 3, 4, and 5. Rav Yosef is that if you do it with your hand, it's acceptable. Rav Hamanuna is that you have to take the good from the bad. Taking the bad from the good is an Issa Daraisa. And Abaye is that you have to do it for immediate purposes. If you do it for later, that is like doing it La'otzar, it's like doing it for storage, and that would be an Issa Daraisa. So those are the three of the five answers that are accepted La'halacha. The Gemara discussed a little more regarding Borer, and we got to the Amud Beis. Now in the Amud Beis, we introduced ourselves to Tochein, grinding. Grinding applies to beets. It applies even to wood as well, non-food. Why did the Mishnah choose Ofe as Malacha number 11? Why not do Bishol? And the Gemara's answer of Sidur de Pas, because the commitment of the Mishnah is to keep it to the process of baking bread. Other forms of Bishol, we talked about taking a wet log and putting it into the oven in order to harden it, but because in the process it's going to soften, so that is going to be the malacha of Bishol. Making a earthenware barrel is going to require one to violate seven malachas. We went through the seven malachas today in terms of what they are through Rashi, through the eyes of Rashi. And what's interesting is not only what are the seven malachas, but also what wasn't included as well as one of the malachas that one needs to violate. Also making an oven, an eighth malacha, makeh bepatish. Also making a wicker basket, 11 malachas. Making the drawstring clothing on the top, another two more malachas. We went through them inside in Rashi in terms of what they are. We talked about shearing and spinning and combing out the wool. If done on the animal itself, that is considered abnormal and not going to be qualified as a malacha, even though, an interesting part of today's daf, even though that's the way the women did it back when making the Mishkan. And then the Gemara gave us another version of the malacha of tolesh, even if we're taking a bird, a feather off of a bird. The Gemara discussed kosher matir, tying and untying. Where was that in the Mishkan? The Gemara's final response is that was by the trappers of the chilazon. And finally, stitching two stitches. Is that going to be a malacha? The Gemara's response is yes, that is in fact going to be a malacha, even though it can easily be undone. We're talking about two stitchings, and where you tie and you knot the ends of the two stitches, and that way it's going to maintain.